composed of a Debian part, which is still called the Moody, and this is probably one of the sources of confusion, and Remoody. I usually call them Agnula de Moody and Agnula Remoody, in accordance with calling GNU Linux. We all like long names, but I think it's clear this way. Marco Trevisani is now an advisor for Agnula. He was the former product manager, now he remained as an advisor, and decided to work on a Debian sub-project called Debian Multimedia. What's the difference between Agnula de Moody and Debian Multimedia? Basically, it's money. That's the main difference, and deadlines. As a European project, we have deadlines, of course, that, of course, a volunteer project like Debian doesn't have. And together with Mark, we felt that we needed both the volunteer spirit that you can find inside Debian. I am a Debian developer, for example, and the free flow of ideas that you can find where you don't have deadlines hanging on your neck. But on the other hand, we have deliverables, which we have to deliver by the end of 2004. And so right now we are working to trying to integrate specifically Agnula de Moody with Debian Multimedia. Integrating Agnula Remoody with Debian Multimedia wouldn't make much sense because, of course, Remoody follows Red Hat package management, package policies, and so on. Well, why Agnula? Well, this is something when I decided to accept this position, the position of project management, which is not a funny position, I can assure you, inside Agnula. I did it because I think that libre software or free software is ranging from well to very well accepted in a variety of fields. Software development, well, the GCC suite, the mono project, which is a clone of .NET, the various integrated development environments, and so on. It's becoming more accepted for office automation, KOffice, OpenOffice, and so on. It's very strong in networking, security, embedded systems. But my impression is that, and this is an impression that derives from my past work with several artists in the city of Bologna, where I live, audio and graphical artists, which all use Windows and all use proprietary software. My impression is that the professional audio video field is still, well, maybe dominated is a bit exaggerated, but there is actually a domination of proprietary software. And I personally think that this is a shame, because I think that any creative activity cannot really live with proprietary software, because you cannot see the sources of the programs you are using, you cannot modify them, you cannot redistribute them, and in the end you end up using black box programs. And the sad fact that this situation is not due to the lack of professional development in the libre software audio field. Because, as we have all seen, we have many professional development going on. Well, I know the Windows users will hate me, but usually users of proprietary software are lazy. They expect things to work, and sincerely, I cannot blame them for this, because sometimes when I use Linux, I am a developer, even if I'm not an audio developer. Sometimes when I use Linux and libre software, I would wish that things work without having to hack on them. So I think that the goal should be twofold. On the one side, developing great tools, and I think that the Linux audio community is doing that. But we also have to integrate them into easy-to-install distribution, because the basic fact is that you cannot convince a Windows user to try new software if he has to recompile everything. This is not his state of mind. He's not accustomed to this state of mind. Usually he buys, well, more usual than not, he copies software. can we remove this from the recording of the well, usually he, let's say he installs software, and we don't question where the sources, where the program comes from. Install programs, and he expects the program to work. And actually, many Linux distributions have managed to reach this goal. In, for example, the, well, I think about Red Hat or Debian or SUSE. I'm distribution agnostic. I'm not talking. I haven't got a preferred distribution. The goal of Agnula is one of the goals of Agnula is collecting all the software that people that have talked here are working on, and create easily installable distribution. Two easily installable distributions: the Moody based on Debian and Remoody based on Red Hat. The Agnula project is actually run by a consortium which is made up of several members. They are in alphabetical orders, not in order of importance. Well, the Free Software Foundation of Europe, which is taking care of the legal aspects, because inside the Agnula project we are going to package only free software or libre software. This is, for example, a problem for JMAX, a problem which we are actively trying to solve. We are going to solve, I hope. Because, as François told you, the front end for JMAX is in Java. Java currently is not free software. There are free JVM implementation, but they are very basic. And the problem is that many Java libraries, which are, for example, the Swing libraries, which are needed for GUI programming, are not free, and there are no free equivalents. Then there is the KTH from Sweden, Red Hat France, which is working on Remoody, UPF from Spain, and Temporale Ricerca, which is where I work, and that is taking care of the general project management, and more specifically, is working on the Moody. What has been done? Well, first off, I'm not the best person to talk about what has been done, because as I told you, I entered the project just 1 month or 2 months ago. So I saw what had been done, but I'm not going to discuss very deeply the past, because that wouldn't be correct with the former project manager. Anyway, we have reached the 0.9 release, and we have learned a lot of things in the process. The importance of dissemination. This is something that where we need to be better, because much work has gone into Agnula, but few people know it. And this is, of course, a problem, both because we don't easily find collaboration. The utmost importance of collaboration with existing project, that is basically don't reinvent the wheel. For example, for the Moody, the 0.9 release actually repackaged a lot of packages because we needed to integrate them with Jack. Looking retrospective, it would have been probably more efficient to push Debian packagers to integrate Jack into Debian, into their packages, and then use that packages. Also because Agnula will end its official life at 2004. It would be a pity for all work that has been done and that we are going to do, that this work would end at April 2004. So now we are trying hard, especially with regards to the Moody, which is closely tied with Debian, to first push Debian developers or create Debian packages ourselves. Take those packages, I will speak about this better later, and create an infrastructure that can survive the end of European financing, which unfortunately are not never ending. Well, we learned, and we are trying to address the problem, that the release early, release often is a good thing. It's not a buzzword. It's really useful, because when you don't have huge development teams like proprietary software houses can have. You have to count on the help of volunteers, external users, and so on. But to do this, you have to give external users software to try. Even if this software doesn't work, the important thing is to tell them, look, it doesn't work. We need your bug reports. And I think that was quite, even if I'm in the free software field, I've been in the free software field for 4 or 5 years. I think that always surprises me is how users are willing to run programs that break. Maybe because they run Windows, so they're quite accustomed to things that break. And the thing that we learn is that building distribution is a pain in the ass. It's really difficult. It's difficult because, especially because as developers, we usually don't understand what the needs of the end user, whether they are basic users, power users, professional users are. For example, I don't care about graphical interfaces. More often than not, graphical interfaces are a hinder for me. I cannot work with graphical interfaces, but many users need them, especially proprietary software users. This is more of a psychological issue for them. Many proprietary software users will run away screaming in tears if they don't find a graphical user interface. Then, after a month, after 2 months, they will learn that many things can be done much better at the terminal. But it takes time. Usually takes more than 2 months of time to learn that. Oh, sorry. What are we going to do now? After changing project manager, which is the Uber leader, that's me, we are moving our main servers in Sweden because our servers in Florence suffered a major network breakage. And remember that I said before that being a project manager is not funny. This is the first thing that I had to do when I arrived in Agnola. Well, I was unlucky. There was a problem with our connectivity supplier, and we are still finishing to move things in Sweden. We're setting up a general bug tracking system, which is being organized into several sections. On the one side, we have a section for bugs related to the websites, which is quite complex. And even if a website, of course, is not directly related to audio development, I feel that it's very important for users to arrive and have a clear picture of what's going on. I think that one of the most difficult things for first-time free software users is understanding where to find things. What does this program do? And one of the things that we are trying to do is to set up a user's experience website, which should be linked by our main Agnola website. And we would like Agnola users, but in perspective, users of free software programs for audio to share their experience, to be able to publish their experiences with various programs and to learn from each other's experiences. And this is yet another psychological thing because one thing that I learned is that, for example, Windows users are often not so accustomed to mailing lists. They use it, but they don't use it as much as Linux users, for example, use it. They usually use the web, which is something, it's very stupid in my opinion to use the web for anything. Anyway, this is the reality, so we have to cope with that. And then we are going to rethink, and this is something that I'm doing with Marco Trevisani, our strategy for Agnola De Moody to cooperate with Debian. As I said to you earlier, we would like core development of the packages to happen inside Debian. Marco is going to set up a Debian multimedia sub-project. We, as Agnola, will try as much as possible to help him financially, if possible, by letting people know that there is this Debian sub-project going on and directing people to the Debian sub-project. in return we get packages, which is not something that, very sincerely, this is not something that we could do alone. If you take a look at Debian, which is, I think last time I checked, 500 developers, more or less. More than 500, yeah, 1,000 developers. Well, let's say that usually 50% of the total developers are active at any given time. And, of course, Agnula, Centro Temporale and Agnula can think about competing with such a structure. So it makes sense, in my opinion, to try to help Debian. And we are discussing with Debian too, not only with Debian Multimedia, but with Debian in general, how can we help you? And have packages in return. So, now we'll talk more closely about Agnula De Moody, which is the sub-project that I'm following more closely. So we're going to build ESOS out of periodic testing snapshots. As we all know, Debian testing, whose current code name is Sarge, if I'm not wrong, is made up of the packages which have not had more than grave bugs, that is bugs which are neither grave nor critical, in the last 2 weeks since they entered the archive. Module exception, because sometimes it happens that some packages slip in. We have had a problem in that testing has just undergone a major revamp because libc, of course, almost I think that all packages except documentation packages link against libc. And libc had several major bugs which made it not enter testing for a long time. Now it's just entering it and it's bringing a zillion of packages with it. And this will be a problem because there will be bugs to squash. This is an inevitable thing. An advantage is that testing is broken, but is not as broken as unstable, which is the bleeding edge Debian distribution. As I was telling you earlier, we have realized that building our own Debian is not feasible. It's not sensible. It doesn't make sense. It's much better to use Debian packages and fix bugs there. On the other hand, there could be a situation which we have to produce our own Debian packages. Debian is a volunteer project. We cannot expect them to have our same deadlines. It wouldn't be right to expect them. Sometimes it happens that a Debian developer is, as they say it, missing in action. That is, he doesn't respond to emails. I guess that he has to live his own life. And in that situation, for example, when we have to produce very quickly a package and we don't have time to do through all the usual Debian procedure, which would be to do a so-called non-maintainer upload, we will produce our own packages. In that case, Debian versioning scheme comes in our help because we can produce a Demudi package and through version numbering, this is a topic that I think is not interesting in this context, we can have that package automatically replaced when the new version of Debian gets uploaded. And this is something very important because automation is the key to a is the separation between a successful and an unsuccessful project, especially because at Agnula we cannot count on, we don't have many developers. Currently we have two. So to keep track of the situation, we are rebuilding a package database. This package database will be focused on sound application, audio application, especially. We will have to keep track of the software which will get included into Agnula, which is surely modulo licensing problems, all the software that has been discussed here during this meeting, plus I think other software that might be interesting. A description of the program, which sound servers are the program supports. And then this is something that is more useful for us, Debian version of the software with a pointer to the PTS page, which is the PTS page of a package is a web page describing the package, all the bugs related to that package and so on, and Red Hat version of the software. As far as an installer goes, which is a very important thing of a good distribution, Debian has always been criticized for its installer, for its installing process. I personally think that there is nothing wrong with the installer process of Debian, because usually you just have to hit return a lot of times. But the feeling is that having a graphical installer with hardware recognition could help spreading amongst Windows users, which, again, I'm talking about Windows users because I don't know how Macintosh users are, have survived the Windows invasion. So anyway, the vast majority of proprietary software users are accustomed to graphical installers. That's a reality, and we have to cope with that. So Agnola Demudi will be based on DI, which is the Debian installer, the new version of the Debian installer, which is still a work in progress but has already reached a good number of milestones. We still need to work on it, and Agnola is helping Debian installer to have a good product. Agnola Remudi will be based on the stock Red Hat installer. Then, to fulfill the release early, release often approach, we'll be releasing. This is something that's going to start, I hope, by the middle of April. I hope that by the middle of April we will have our full infrastructure set up, and we will be releasing periodic ISO snapshots. And we hope people will download them, will test them. Hopefully they won't break their computers, but they will report bugs to us. They will report bugs in how things are packaged, and that's our goal. And this is a nice side effect. I hope that they will report bugs in the programs themselves. And this is, of course, the goal of the original developers. And I think this could be good for the original, for the upstream developers, because I think that more bugs simply means more fixing and a better program. Jack integration is the trickiest part, because although I think that Jack is really a wonderful program, simply put, it's still not stable, and it's obvious that it's not stable because it's a work in progress. But basing a distribution which should be stable, because of course no user will switch to Agnola and LibreSoftware if the distribution he uses doesn't work. How do we base a distribution on something that is not in this moment stable? And how to use Jack with applications that are not Jackified? These are questions that I had to pose myself when I first entered the project. I'm getting some answers to these questions. Being here helping me a lot understanding what the answers could be, but I'm not sure that they are correct. One of Agnola deliverables also is porting to non-Intel architectures. This is something that actually is not as hard as it might seem, because Debian, for example, has already been ported to 9 architectures, I think, even if some of these architecture doesn't work really well. But since we're investigating porting to PPC and IA64, if you have any suggestion, you as professional audio developers, on what architectures would be interesting to port Agnola to, we are open to suggestions. I don't promise that we will answer, but we are open. And at the end of 2004, at April 2004, which is the deadline, the final deadline for the European project, we should also produce a live CD. I personally think that we could start producing live CDs together with the periodic ISOs, because it's not that hard to produce a live CD. As a CD, as you all know, is a distribution which runs directly from the CD. And it's not that hard, thanks also to the great work made by the Knopics team, for example. It's not hard to produce a live ISO together with a normal ISO. This is something that I will need to study. It's very easier to convince users to try GNU Linux in this specific case, Agnula, when you don't have to repartition their hard disk. And this is something that I experienced. When you tell someone, okay, I need to wipe off your Windows partition, I would like very much to do it, but they usually are not very keen at trying. Having something that runs from CD is a good solution. Well, where you can find us? Right now you cannot find us because, as I told you, we are still finishing our move to Sweden. I hope that we have all set up by the end of next week. I should return in Italy by Wednesday, and I hope that by Friday or Saturday the website will be finally set up. Anyway, the main site should be at www.agnora.org. The bug tracking system will be at bugs.agnora.org. The mailing list, we have much fantasy, is at list.agnora.org. And there are two mailing lists, one for users and one for developers. Although at the beginning, I think that there will be more developers than users, because the initial releases, the 1.0 pre-releases won't be really useful for end users. You will be able to subscribe to the mailing list by visiting list.agnora.org, which is a standard mailman installation. Yeah. Right now we are moving our servers because of severe network breakage temporarily. As soon as we have finished, I will post a message to the relevant mailing list. LED will be included, of course. For contacts, you can write to info@agnora.org or andrea.glorioso@centrotemporale.it. Andrea.glorioso is me. Okay. I finished, so if there is any question.
So we'll soon find out if there are questions. Are there questions? No, they don't dare to.
Great.
Here's your last chance. Jörn, any questions from the audience? They're all just out for lunch. Okay, then I think the best thing is to wish you all the best with Agnula.
Thank you.
Personally, I'm very happy to see that you use Debian, which I use for 7 years now, I think.
You know, I need to be agnostic. I cannot say that I use Debian.
Okay, but still you use it. And then thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all.
So now it's another break of 20 minutes, and at 7 p.m. local time, the next talk will be Fernando Lopez Lescano on soft landing on Planet Karma.